This is LBC London News.
23 minutes past six right now, and US President Barack Obama delivering a stirring speech at the Democratic Convention, hailing Hillary Clinton as his political heir and rounding on homegrown demagogue Donald Trump. Let's go live to Philadelphia right now, where our US correspondent Simon Marks has been there for us all week. Simon, what happened last night then?
Well, it was an amazing night, I have to say, in the hall. I mean, whatever your political position, whatever your political sympathies, Barack Obama made a speech in that hall last night that I think people will come back to in the future and see as the moment when leadership of the Democratic Party passed from him to the woman that he initially beat in the race for the presidency 8 years ago, Hillary Clinton. He was essentially saying that Hillary Clinton now should be the woman who inherits his political legacy, takes the issues that he has tried to deal with in the United States over the last 8 years forward. He hopes for another 8 years in the Oval Office, and he made it absolutely clear that he was offering a full-throated endorsement of her, even while in the speech he dwelt in part on his own legacy and what he hopes to be remembered for and the work that is yet to be done. But it was also a speech where he urged Democrats not to be complacent and not to think that Donald Trump is such a weak candidate that they can afford to stay home in November. He told them that they've got to register people who are not registered to vote. They themselves have got to remain enthused about the election campaign that lies ahead. And he told them in no uncertain terms, as you'll hear in a moment, to throw their weight entirely behind Hillary Clinton.
Time and again, you've picked me up. And I hope sometimes I picked you up too. And tonight, I ask you to do for Hillary Clinton what you did for me. I ask you to carry her the same way you carried me.
So they loved it in the room. They lapped it up, as you could hear there. And they had already been whipped into a fairly substantial frenzy by a raft of other speakers, all of them very impressive earlier in the night. Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords from Arizona, who, of course, was the victim of an assassination attempt some years ago. She came on the stage and demonstrated that she's made a remarkable recovery from the very serious brain injuries and other physical injuries that she suffered in that attack. Joe Biden, the vice president of the United States, had them eating out of the palm of his hand. And Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York, who when he was elected mayor of New York, of course, was a Republican, came onto the stage. I think some people in the audience weren't entirely sure initially how to receive him. He was not particularly enthusiastically received when he walked onto the stage. But by the time he walked off, they loved it because he said, look, I'm one of those swing voters. Sometimes I vote Republican, sometimes I vote Democrat. I don't agree with everything that you, the Democrats, say on all issues. But I do think that this election is an election where people like me, who are undecided, cannot sit this out. We have to stop Donald Trump from ever reaching the White House. It was a very effective speech. He called Donald Trump a dangerous demagogue, which is language that Barack Obama almost embraced himself. He referred to, in his speech, homegrown demagogues in a section of the speech that he didn't completely tie to Donald Trump, but everybody knew exactly who he meant.
And I thought it was very interesting when he said that Hillary Clinton was even more qualified than he was to be president.
Yes, and there was an ad lib in that section of the speech. If you looked at the speech as it was written, it said that he would say, no man or woman has ever been more qualified or more experienced to become president. He threw an ad lib in there. He said, no man or woman, not me, not Bill, has, you know, had more experience. And that was quite a concession in many ways for Barack Obama to be making. But, you know, he wanted to try and seal the deal for her. And tonight it's her turn to try and seal the deal. And she's got a very complicated task, I think, ahead of her in the speech that she'll be making in that arena tonight. Because what we've seen over the last couple of days, as the Democrats have sort of put down and stopped worrying about the insurrection from the Bernie Sanders diehards, is a concerted effort to rebrand Hillary Clinton, to rebrand her as not the member of the wealthy elite that many Americans think of her as, but to say that she is authentic. She's the fighter. She's been out there on the streets battling on a whole host of issues and wants to continue doing that because she is authentic and, speaker after speaker has insisted, because she can be trusted. She is credible and trustworthy. And they know they've got a problem with Hillary Clinton's reputation for credibility and trustworthiness here, so they keep hammering away at it. She walks onto the stage, in the minds of many voters here, you know, a fully formed person. I mean, there are, one wonders how many people are out there that can be swayed by this attempt to kind of rebrand her, but they are trying to do it because they know they've got to if she's going to appeal to the all-important swing voters in those battleground states that they think will decide the outcome of this election.
And other than the video that she appeared on, I think it was Tuesday night, last night was the first time she'd actually appeared in Philadelphia, wasn't it?
Yes, they've been much more disciplined about her appearances than the Republicans. Oh, they went crazy in the room. When she came onto the stage at the end of Barack Obama's speech, it hadn't been announced that she was going to do it. I mean, it was, you know, clearly a moment of political theatre that I think they definitely wanted to engineer. But there seemed to be, you know, always hard to interpret these things, but from where I was standing, there seemed to be genuine warmth and genuine respect. They lingered on the stage. You know, when Barack Obama... at one point, at the end, I think, of the 2008 convention, appeared on the stage with Bill Clinton. It was very clinical. I know people who, at the time, were working with Bill Clinton who felt almost snubbed by Barack Obama because there hadn't been very much warmth exhibited, and behind the scenes, as soon as their joint appearance was over, Barack Obama apparently disappeared off, didn't have anything much to say to Bill Clinton. There seemed to be on the stage last night genuine affection for one another, and that's something that I think they will want to demonstrate on the campaign trail going ahead. But, you know, make no mistake, they've got problems. Donald Trump is ahead in every single opinion poll that you look at the moment. The national numbers, the battleground polls, he has come out of his convention with a between 4 and 8 point bounce in the opinion polls, depending on which poll you read. And Hillary Clinton is going to need to eradicate that next week, once the polling is complete after this convention. If she doesn't, we're entering a very, very different political universe here.
And I just wondered, obviously with Hillary Clinton being a woman, lots of people discussed about whether her look was going to be discussed. Hillary Clinton joked about calling her book The Scrunchy Chronicles, didn't she, because of her hairstyle. I just wondered how much of the debate is about what she looks like and what she's wearing. Are there articles in Vanity Fair and Vogue and that sort of thing talking about what she looks like rather than what she's achieving or achieved?
Well, I mean, there has been some of that, but I have to tell you, I was struck here the other night after she appeared on video and was beamed in after that vote made her officially the first woman to lead a major political party into a presidential election. I left the arena and got onto the underground system here, which took me back to the area where I'm staying. And the number of young women on that subway carriage wearing Hillary Clinton, you know, a woman's places in the White House t-shirts, they were so enthused, they were so excited and empowered by the fact that she had shattered that glass ceiling. I have been cynical over the last several months about the extent to which Hillary Clinton genuinely inspires young women voters. The campaign tells you that they're all absolutely inspired by her. There has been marginal evidence to prove that on the campaign trail. All I can tell you is that on that subway carriage, on that night, there were an enormous number of young women who felt that Hillary Clinton had notched up an achievement for them. And I think that that is going to be something that the campaign hammers away on, not least because they know that Donald Trump has got a big problem attracting the votes of female supporters. And there have been a number of videos played at this convention and a number of speeches underlining some of the misogynistic comments that Donald Trump has made in the past. So I think they're going to want to get away from the sort of, you know, Vanity Fair Annie Leibovitz spreads. And I think they're really going to want to focus on this sense of her being a glass ceiling smasher. The other thing that I think they're going to do just briefly is they're going to tack to the center after this. convention. You know, the Bernie Sanders delegates are going to be disappointed. Hillary Clinton is not going to run in this election on as a left-winger. That's why she's picked Tim Kaine to be her running mate. She's going to tack to the centre because...
Just losing.
...fervently believe that lost. Donald Trump's taking the other gamble. He thinks it's going to be won by tacking to the right.
Just very briefly, sorry, one more question for you, Simon, whilst I'm with you. I just wanted to cover this quickly.
Sure.
Donald Trump, he's being described as a national security risk after seeming to encourage Russia to spy on government emails. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press.
So the Republican presidential nominee speaking following claims that the country's meddling in the White House election. What are people making of that in America?
Well, people here in Philadelphia went wild about it on the Democratic side. I mean, they assailed him. They thought it was a political gift. They jumped all over it. They said never in history has a presidential candidate encouraged a foreign power to engage in cyber espionage of a political opponent. There were some newspaper editorials by Democratic Party-leaning newspapers describing his remarks as treasonable. And the Democrats said that this is a national security issue. I talked to one Clinton aide last night who was saying that, you know, this is such a national security issue that inside the campaign they believe Donald Trump should not now be given the national intelligence briefings that political candidates here habitually are given and that he should start receiving in just a few days' time. They're being accused by some of jumping all over this because it allowed them partly to change the conversation here in Philadelphia and get away from questions about the difficulties the Bernie Sanders people have been posing for them here and other issues that they didn't want to talk about. But it's definitely become a story. They think it's a political gift from Donald Trump, and the Republicans are flailing around trying to explain it. Some of them yesterday trying to justify it, and today many of them saying, oh, it was just a joke. He didn't really mean anything by it. It was a self-inflicted wound, and probably not the last one that we're going to see from a relatively disorganized Donald Trump-led campaign.
Well, very, very interesting stuff as always. That's Simon Marks for us in Philadelphia at the Democratic Convention. As Simon says, we'll be hearing from Hillary Clinton herself. If you want to find out what she has to say, then join Simon Marks with Jim Diamond at breakfast live from 7 o'clock tomorrow morning.